people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, Matt, it's a Sunday morning, and we're here in the studio. What the hell is up with that?
I was up so early, man. I went up. I did this weird thing today where I got up early, and I went to the gym before I came here.
What?
And at like 7 in the morning, and there was nobody there. It's just like the trainer has to like open up the gym for me specifically.
Now, was the trainer there with a big jelly donut? And like
No, but he had like some on his face.
Yeah,
and he's like, hey, how you doing?
I got to get rid of this before they get here.
I'm having a protein shake. Sure you are.
Yeah.
Sure you are, buddy.
You know, I got up early this morning, too. I got up at like 6:45 and made my coffee. And I did a little social media scrounging around.
Yeah.
And then I had to hustle in here to get ready because we're doing Shift and Steer. And then we're coming back and doing a Man Seeks Adventure. And Man Seeks Adventure takes work, man. I got to set up the bar and the studio
lights.
Because
you guys drank during the show.
Well, yeah.
And,
Which makes it so damn good.
It's still morning, so I'm so, you know, you guys are.
Hey. You know the motto of our show.
I'm just saying, like, in some states.
5 o'clock somewhere.
In some states, I don't think you could do this show. Like, in Utah, I don't think, or Colorado, or whatever.
They'd be a hitch dry on Sundays, man.
Yeah, is it
parts of Kansas, I think
yeah, it's summer are dry on Sundays. And summer, like, you can't even buy booze before 1.
Right. You got to wait till after church.
Yeah.
So, because they don't want you carrying a six-pack into church, buddy.
All you can have is the sacrament, and then later you got to wait a few hours.
Hey, let's introduce this damn show. Hey, I'm Brad Fanshawe, and right across from me is moderator Matt DeAndrea. And Matt, you already told us how you started today, and everyone, you're listening to Shift and Steer. Man, racing rides people and places. I mean, we haven't said that tagline in a long time.
Where's Aaron?
I will tell you, Aaron is sleeping with the fishes. He's sleeping with the fishes.
It was Aaron's birthday.
I texted him yesterday. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And I said, Aaron, what's up? He goes, I told him happy birthday and everything. And he goes, yeah, I'm headed to Monterey. I'm sleeping with the fishes tonight. I go, what does that mean? You know? And he goes, oh, I'm sleeping at the aquarium in front of the jellyfish tank. And I thought, okay, sounds odd, but very Aaron.
Is that something that the aquarium does?
I don't know. I said to my wife, I said, doesn't sound that inviting to me because it sounds like it'd be cold, damp, and
do you feel like we should call the aquarium and let them know somebody's in there sleeping?
Yeah, maybe they don't know it's a thing.
Maybe they don't know.
Aaron's in there like one of those ads where you see the mermaids swimming around. He's in there with a mermaid tail. And
Aaron's in there.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
All right.
Well, I want to start out this episode with something special.
Okay.
Now, we have talked about all the crap that I've collected over the years, which is cool stuff to me and to many other people. And so I found out, I kind of put on my thinking cap, and I thought, you know what? I got a way I could get rid of some of this stuff, put smiles on listeners' faces, and help the show at the same time.
Sellbradshit.com?
Well, even easier than that.
Okay.
Hey, what I want to do is I want to bribe our listeners.
Okay,
hey,
I like it.
So what I was thinking is that every episode, I'm going to come up with something from my collection and give it away. We will mail it out to one listener every single episode. So
every week.
Yeah. So what
we're
have
gonna
to do.
We're going to do this until.
Until I'm out of stuff,
or
I guess.
Or out of stamps.
Yeah, out of stamps. Yeah, it's getting. I did think about that. I thought, I'm the one paying the postage on this.
Whatever goes first. Your stuff or postage.
Or I just get sick of giving everything away.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we are really going to give stuff away.
Okay.
And here's the inducement. What they have to do, Matt, is it takes a little bit of work. So it's not like we're just handing the stuff out. Because iTunes does not make it easy, as we know, to subscribe to shows on iTunes. So what we need them to do is you've got to subscribe. Then you have to leave a comment. Hopefully a 5-star positive comment. And hashtag it with Shift and Steer. Hashtag Brad stuff. That way we know you've entered and we know. Now, we're not going to let the guys who have already left comments and done, you know, their business for us, taking care of us, showing us some love.
Yeah.
Those guys are entered automatically.
Okay, so if you're already left a comment on iTunes, Okay, there's like 50 or 60 of them up there, something like that.
Yeah, there's like 56 of them right
so
now.
So if you've already left a comment on iTunes, you're already in.
Exactly.
You're already in. We'll reach out to you somehow.
And we're going to do this the fairest way possible. And I learned this at a party that I went to at Michael Anthony's house when we were doing the football pool for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa chooses the numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We just said, Alexa, choose a number between 1 and 10. And she'd go, 7. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start a spreadsheet as people enter.
Yeah.
And then I'll just say, Alexa, give me a number between 1 and 56 or 1 and 100. And she's going to choose a number, and that's the winner that week.
Can the same person win multiple times?
I think we're going to limit it. One prize per person. And
because I don't care either way. Just
yeah.
Keep going. Oh, and you only have to leave one comment. So here's the thing is if you leave a comment with these hashtags, you're in for every single week. So
that's
subscribe,
right.
Leave us a nice review, add a little comment. And I tell you what, if you don't have something nice to say, leave us a 5-star review and a bad comment.
Yeah. just say, why was Aaron sleeping with the fishes or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
So, but no, we want you to do that. We will put a photo of the prize on the Shift and Steer Instagram page and yeah. our Facebook and our Twitter. So you know what it is. You can see it. And like the one for this week later today, I'm going to post it. And then what we will do is the contest will run till we record the next show. As of that day, we'll choose a winner, and we'll announce them, and boom,
okay.
on to the next prize.
Since this is the first one, let's give it away. What do you have in mind? What do you think is going to be the first thing?
Okay. I have something that is really cool. It's a carbon fiber pen.
It's real carbon?
Real carbon fiber, and it's a very high-quality pen. They sold for like about $60 each, and they're really nice. And I started collecting carbon fiber pens when I was in the watch industry real heavy, and I'd go to Switzerland and Europe, and there's some really expensive pens that you can buy. And I was a Jörg Heisek pen that I collected, which I'm not giving away because that was a $1,000 pen. And it was a gift to me from Jörg Heisek. So then I was like, wow, there's some really cool pens out. Well, this is one of mine from my collection. This is not a promotional piece. It's because I did produce some that said Bond Speed, and we might give one of those away in the future. But this is actually one that I collected, and it's not used. And I'm not going to guarantee that the ink cartridge, because I've had it for a number of years, so you might have to put an ink cartridge in it. But it is a fine writing instrument. Be great for any gearhead to have sitting on their desk or just to have as a collectible.
Sounds good.
So we're going to give that away.
I like it. And then we're just going to keep doing this until...
Win Brad's stuff.
Until either Brad runs out of stuff, we run out of postage money, or we just... stop caring.
So you guys, seriously, you got to go on. You got to.
It'll be fun.
Stuff.
It'll be fun to
yeah.
do. And then somehow we'll figure out who you are. We're going to use your username on iTunes, and then we're going to have to figure out how to.
Well, what we'll have to do is if you have a username on iTunes, what we will do is, we'll
announce it on the show.
We'll announce it and then have you email us and we'll verify.
That's right. We'll
yeah.
announce it on the show and we'll use our social media to say, you know, so-and-so username one, please try to get a hold of us. Email us through the website or we'll give you email.
So if we say like it's Juan Jacoby from Alaska.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. I hope everybody who wins is from different countries all around the world.
And I'm having to spend like, oh, hey, I'm giving away this pen. Now I got to spend $50 to ship it to India or something like that. So, but,
yeah.
don't.
I don't think you thought this through exactly, but
you must be in the 48 contiguous United States. All 50 United States or postage is required.
Oh, man.
I can't be shipping some, like, a race motor that I collected and I'm giving away to Pakistan or something.
Hey, I didn't make up the rules.
And it must be a country that we can ship to because, like, if, you know, somebody from North Korea would win it, you know, I could get in trouble, thrown in jail for shipping something over there.
For a pen?
I don't know. They've got all kinds of shipping rules. I'm not going to get into trouble.
I'll ship it. I'm down.
If you're local, you can come by and pick it up even.
I'll ship it and sign Brad's name.
So, hey, back on episode 121, man, that was a yeah. huge show. We got tons of numbers. Everybody seemed to like that show. It must have been all about the Winter Nationals that we were talking about.
Is that what it was? Which one was 121?
121 was, you know, Winter Nationals. We talked about the Lexus and the Predator Grill. And we spoke about the Porsche event at the Peterson and Chad McQueen. And, you know, all that stuff. And I think everybody liked it.
We got.
But, hey, and this brings up a new thing. Yeah. This is our newest segment on the show called Hate Mail, Great Mail. You know, guys can send it. They can send hate mail and they can send great mail.
All right.
Whatever they want to do.
I've got two emails. I'm going to read them. We're going to talk about them. This is going to be fun. Jim sent us an email. Jim, it doesn't say where you're from, Jim, but thanks for sending it in. It says, in your most recent episode, you made comments wondering about Chad McQueen's presence at Bullet Mustang events and even specifically said, quote, he's never really liked cars. And you go on to make a statement about the type of people who wear glasses, sunglasses indoors. I'm not offended. However, the correction to this entire situation is this. Chad McQueen did race cars. He was on the panel for the Peterson display because he specifically raced Porsches like his father. He wears sunglasses because of an eye injury he received after a life-threatening crash in a GT3 in 2007. In my opinion, he has more pedigree to discuss Porsches than the hosts, and I enjoy the show and generally get the sarcasm and humor of both Brad and Matt, but they were way off in this topic, especially as it relates to the motor enthusiast listeners. Jim, thank you so much for sending this. First of all, I thought my sunglasses joke was hilarious. Maybe it was mean, but I thought it was just in. Brad's literally standing here in the studio right now wearing his blue sunglasses. And I said, there's two types of people who wear sunglasses indoors, blind people and assholes.
And I threw in rock stars and podcasters.
Okay, so there's that.
And now wait, what, Jim?
I get what you're saying, Jim, and thank you. This is the nicest criticism email.
It's the nicest hate mail we've ever gotten.
Right? It's not even that. Like, I appreciate it. Jim is a rock star. I don't know much about Chad McQueen's racing history. I just assumed he raced, and I he has to be in the car community.
We did not say he did not like cars. We didn't say that. We did question his racing a little bit, but you know what? Here's the thing. It's all in good fun. I mean, I've met Chad up at Monterey a couple times. I know you've met him.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy. We're just having fun with it because, you know, the whole thing is that all kinds of celebrities wear sunglasses inside. And you know what? There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because they were on set or they were doing a gig the night before and they're all puffy and they don't want to look bad.
Yeah.
And sunglasses make you look cooler. And you know what?
But to this point on the Peterson thing, I was just kind of going for the whole image. He was up on the panel for the Peterson, which was great. He did a great job. But, like, everybody on the panel was in a suit. He was in, like, a...
Right. Looked like he rolled out a bed.
He was in, like, a track suit with sunglasses. Everybody had, like, a sport coat on.
Do you think he was maybe, in his kitchen at home and his assistant called him and goes, Chad, dude, what time are you leaving? And he goes, for what? And he goes, the Peterson event. And he went, oh, shit. And he threw down his Muscle Milk and ran out the door.
I think he's got a style, and I think it works for him, and it's great. I didn't know about any accident he may or may not have been in. I'm sure he's been in.
I did look
accidents.
Up the
yeah.
accident, by the way, yeah. Matt.
Yeah.
And he was severely injured, broken ribs, legs, vertebrae, everything.
In 2007.
Yeah, 2006, I think it was.
Okay. Well,
but
whatever.
Whatever. And
here's the question. Did he wear the sunglasses indoors before the accident?
There were many photos
okay.
of him wearing those sunglasses before. But you know what the thing is
it
that,
doesn't really
hey,
matter.
No,
it's
no
just
hard
a
feelings.
Joke.
But you know what I do, what I like, is I like that Jim was sticking up for him, wrote a letter. We encourage everybody to write letters because, you know what, we're not always on point. And the other thing to remember is, hey, we're entertainers. If we don't give you something to think about, then it'd be a hell of a boring show.
Well, Jim, thanks again for listening. Thanks for writing in. I'm a dick. Brad's a dick.
Well, wait. I'm a bigger dick, okay?
Well, we knew that. I didn't want to emphasize
that's part of my whole thing.
We've got another email here from Rick. Rick is from Shingle
Rick's
Springs.
From the other room over. Is he?
Different
is
Rick.
Oh, different Rick. Okay.
Shingle Springs, California. I don't know where that is, but that's actually a really bad name for
I know, man.
Town,
I wouldn't
want
to, you know, does everybody like walk around going, oh, man, my shingles are really bugging
like,
me today.
When you say Shingle Springs, you automatically think a disease. You don't think shingles on your roof?
No.
Whatever.
No.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rick. So it said, I'm a longtime listener of CarCast and the Adam Carolla Show. Thank you for that. And I have tried Shift and Steer a few times, but it was not, I was just not drawn in for some reason. Although I wanted
what?
To love it. Although I wanted to love it because I'm a car guy from way back. Maybe S&S seemed a little chaotic or something. I'm not sure. First of all, you're right. We sucked in the beginning. He goes on to say,
and we do get chaotic.
Anyhow, I turned into episode 121 this evening and love the two of you together. There was something special about it. Your personalities are completely different but complement each other. It may be because I've always loved how Matt and Adam contrast each other's personality, and the same happened on this episode with you two. I don't know, but I enjoyed it. You guys have a lot of experience in the racing world. It was great. I will continue to listen. Keep doing it. Thank you so much. Did my mom put you up to this? I feel like maybe she might have sent you a message. But thank you for listening to CarCast and ACS and giving Shift and Steer a chance. Let me start by this.
You did see that came from bondspeed.com.
Yeah, I saw that, right? No. Shift and Steer came up for two reasons. One is I've been doing shows with Adam for a long time, and I ask him all the time, like, hey, man, if I want to host other stuff, or Brad and I want to host other stuff, what do you do? And he says it's like going to the gym. Do the reps. Always do the reps. So
is that why you grunt a lot on the
So I was thinking, let's do another podcast. And then Brad came up with the idea with Shift and Steer because we had such a good time with Pete Chaporis and Aaron, and he's like, let's just put a show together where four friends can hang out and talk. And for me,
distinctly different car guys. That was the whole thing. You
now,
know?
This originally started because you especially have known Pete for so long, and Pete had so many stories, but never really an avenue to tell these stories. Now, unfortunately, you know, Pete's not with us anymore, but he did leave us with a bunch of great stories and things that you know. So this sort of started off with that. And I'm telling you, like, having Pete, he's done so much in the automotive space with SEMA and the hot rod world and everything. And this was his favorite thing. He's like, Friday, I just love coming out and sitting down with you guys and doing the show.
He said it was his best part of his week.
And I appreciated that more than anything. That means so much. So that's where this show came out. This show just came out for our love of talking about all this stuff and telling some of these stories. And somehow Aaron is sleeping at an aquarium or something.
Exactly. Because he got, you know, he was a little bushed from the whole cruise and everything.
Right, from the cruise with singing with his dad.
But this did come, you know, it was one of those things that when I approached you about it and didn't know if you could do it because you were on Carolla's show, but it just all,
he's
everything
not the boss
aligned.
Of me.
He's not the boss of me. All the stars aligned. It worked out great. And Pete and I had been doing a radio show, which sucked. I mean, it was a great show, but we had all these limitations. We couldn't cuss. It was only on at Saturdays at 10 a.m. in the morning, so half the people couldn't listen to it because they're at soccer practice with their kids or working on their car. And it just, everything worked out, and it's been so much fun to do, and it's cool that people, I love the critical ear that people listen to the show with, because whether it's good or bad, we want to hear it, because you know what, we're so close to it, we sit here we're already thinking of the next show that we're going to do when we're laying this one down. So please keep those coming in, and we'll be able to keep the hate mail, great mail segment cruising right along.
That all being said, maybe Rick doesn't like us and he loved Jed Coughlin Jr.
Exactly.
Because he was a great guest on the show, so that was fun.
Well, and back to Jim, you know, the original guy.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why he didn't think the other hosts on that panel at the Peterson Museum knew as much as Chad.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, do you think that he meant us as the hosts, not the other hosts at the Peterson?
Oh, I saw that in the email. I wasn't quite sure, but feel free to write back.
Yeah.
And guys, thank you so much for the emails. Those are fun. We
appreciate it.
We want to read more. Or if you want us to read more, whatever, let us know.
I want to throw one really quick note in here. that's kind of off the script because yesterday.
We don't have a script.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to make it sound professional. So yesterday, when you brought up Pete and Pete's passing, yesterday I went to the NHRA Motorsports Museum.
Yeah.
And it was for a memorial for my good friend Bob Bowder.
Yes.
And Bob Bowder.
I have not met Bob, but you've spoken about him.
Such a cool guy. And they just had the best memorial for him. I mean, hundreds of people showed up. Tons of hot rods and bikes. And you know, because Bob was a Harley builder, he was a car builder, he was a drag racer, but this guy lived life by the balls, man. I mean, and they told Bowder story after Bowder story, and it was so cool. It's like, man, if I ever die, I think I'm too just angry to die. I think I won't, but if I ever do, that's what I would want, is people telling great stories. Because, like,
yeah,
one guy told there's an old custom of ours from Boyd's, and, you know, Bowder worked for us at Boyd's for a while, and he told a story of how the very first time he ever came out, and he was having a car built at Boyd's, and he pulled up in his rental car, and Bob happened to be walking through the parking lot, and he goes, can I just park here? Because there's no other place to park. And the guy goes, oh, no, man, you know, he goes, Boyd would be really pissed if you parked there. That's kind of where he parks. He goes, just give me your keys. And he goes, oh, okay. And he goes, he goes, I'll park it, you know, for you. I'll take care of it for you. And he said that Bowder went to get in his car, and he went, oh, hey, you left your bag and your camera in here. Wouldn't do that. And he goes, you know, I thought, what a nice guy, man, just taking care of all my stuff, and this is so great. And he goes, I went in, I was talking to Boyd, and all of a sudden some guy came running in and goes, you guys got to come out here and see what's going on. And he goes, came running out, and there's my rental car in the middle of the street, smoking burnout going on. And he goes, it looked like a forest fire had been going for so long. And he goes, all four windows were down on the car. And I look, and I go, there's nobody in that car. He had put a brick in front of the front wheels, got out of it, and left it. And he said, all of a sudden I went from what a nice guy to what an asshole. And he goes, I had to, like, work my way up, jump through the door, and, like, get. And he goes, I was in town for 4 days. And he goes, for 4 days, he goes, it's the faster I went, the more it went. Because he had done some e-brakes before he did the burnout. And he goes, and that was just Bob. He goes, he had this great smile and devilish eyes. And that summed up Bowder so well. And there was just story after story. I mean, it was just,
yeah.
Like his son, his one son told a real quick story about how, amongst others, but how he goes, yeah, I was like 12 years old, and I went with my dad over to see some guy who, at the time, I didn't even know who he was. And he goes, we're going to go over to Malcolm's house. And he goes, later I realized it was Malcolm Smith. And he goes, we're going to pick up a dirt bike for you. And he goes, we walked over, and Malcolm Smith.
Who is Malcolm Smith?
You don't know who Malcolm Smith is? Legendary motocross guy, motorcycle guy, and racer, and off-road racer, and everything like that. Huge, huge name. Look it up. Google it. And
I did. I was just doing it for everybody.
So that I could listen. Let the other people who didn't know. So anyways, he goes, Malcolm's sitting there telling my dad, well, I need some work, you know. And he goes, I'm 12 years old, and it's a Honda CR250.
Nice.
And he goes, Malcolm said to my dad, hey, you know, I need some work. Brakes don't work, and the pipe needs to be fixed, but it runs. It's a full-on race bike. I won the Baja 1000 or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bob looked at him and went, ah, it's no big deal. It's just for my kid. And he goes, I proceeded to go out to the desert and hit a dune buggy at 60 miles an hour and went flying over. And remember my dad standing over me going, you all right, kid? And he goes, yeah. He goes, well, let's go see if the bike's hurt. and he was just an awesome guy. But anyways, we're losing all these icons. And
yeah, it's too bad.
And it was Bob's wife showed me a photo that she had. She wanted to share with me. And she goes, they're all gone. And it was a picture of Pete,
mm-hmm.
Bob, Carol Shelby,
yeah.
and Gary Metters, who owned Good Guys, all standing with shovels in their hands the day the Peterson broke ground.
Wow.
And all four of them are gone now. But the Peterson still stands. And they still haven't invited me to an event.
Really? I invite myself.
Yeah, I know.
I'm somebody's plus one all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you should go. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Anyways.
There's a big Porsche exhibit going on right now.
Do they have a Mercedes exhibit?
I don't think so.
I mean, a vintage 80s era Mercedes, like we saw at Radwood?
That'd be Radwood, yeah.
So, okay. So I'm scanning through stuff the other day. Now, I will admit, I was not looking to see the value of my 560 SEC Mercedes.
Sure.
Okay, I was not.
Sure.
It just came across.
So you have your Mercedes.
Yes. Which is...
What year?
Mine's an 86, 560 SEC, slammed, totally blacked out at
is
Boyd's.
The shaved door handle?
No, I got rid of that one. That one went to Japan. But the 560... It's got blacked out grill. It's got all the chrome blacked out, and it's slammed on 20-inch wheels that I made when Boyd and I were partners. And it was they look like Mercedes emblems. They're like a three spoke wheel, and so I was kind of coming along and I whoa, what's this? You know, because it caught my eye, and it said that RM Sotheby's at their upcoming Fort Lauderdale auction, which is in April. One of their feature cars is a 560 SEC Mercedes.
Nice.
And I was like, well, this is good. Maybe the value of my car's going up, you know? Well, it turns out it is a SEC, but it is a wide body AMG 6-liter car.
Okay.
So these cars were badass. I mean, they were the coolest cars. Now, my business partner, Michael Anthony, he had a real AMG wide body 500 SEC Mercedes.
Okay.
AMG, which was awesome. But the 560.
He doesn't have it anymore.
No, it's a sad story. He sold it to his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law wiped it out on the 210 freeway. And, and I said to him, I go, where'd it go? And he goes, oh, it's already gone. I was like, because it had an AMG motor in it.
Yeah.
AMG, all the AMG upgrades. And, the insurance company just hauled it away. It probably got crushed and all the AMG stuff's gone. So, the 560, the 6-liter car, they only made 50 of them. They say fewer than 50 were ever made. So it's a super rare car. And the wide bodies were all steel. I mean, they actually re-quartered these cars. Because you remember, Matt, AMG was, you know, a lot of people don't realize because nowadays you buy an AMG, it's part of Mercedes. There was a time when AMG was a tuner separate from Mercedes and was the only authorized company to really, you know, there was always the Lorenzer and all those others, but AMG were their guys.
Right.
So for them to take a car brand new off the assembly line. Now, here's what's really interesting. What I really liked about the article that I read was that it gave the value in today's dollars. Because when this car was built back in 86, it had more horsepower than the same year Lamborghini Countach. So it was a higher horsepower car out of the gate than the Lamborghini. And
how much power did it have?
Well, that's what's funny. By today's standards, 480 horsepower. Woo! You know,
that's still a lot.
But that's still a lot. But and it was twice the price of the Countach. In 1986, if you wanted this car, it was $200,000.
Wait, in today's money?
No.
Back
in
then,
1986
it was
dollars. And they summed it up by going, and the car was painted in the AMG cocaine white. How 80s is that?
God, I hope that was the official name of it.
Because
I hope it's on a build sheet.
It's
somewhere.
On everything in the thing.
White.
Cocaine white. And I can't wait till it goes across stage at Sotheby's and they go.
What's the estimate?
And the next car is going at this AMG Mercedes painted in cocaine white.
Yeah.
He'll probably go cocaine. And the estimate is, they say, mid six figures. So,
really?
Yeah. And they said because of the rarity, because of the high performance nature, and the car only has 22,000 miles on it. So it's like brand new.
How come we didn't bring your black Mercedes to Radwood?
We're bringing it next year. I'm serious. Yeah. I am bringing it next year. After we went this year, I said, I'm going to get that car. It needs a new fuel pump because it sat and it went out. But I'm going to get the the fuel pump fix, and we're going to bring that sucker out.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Is it here or one of your out-of-state warehouses?
No, it's actually at my house. It's in the garage at my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah. You got to move a bunch of shit out of the way to get to it?
No. my 69 Camaro, and I can get it right out the door.
There you go.
But what's really cool is they said that in today's dollars, that would like being buying the S-Class Coupe for $800,000.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I mean, that's like crazy. But you know what? We know what was going on in the 80s. We know the guys that were buying those cars. If you've ever seen Cocaine Cowboys, these guys had pallets of money. They were running out of room to where they had to spend it on stuff. And the companies back then took advantage of that by going, hey, we've got a $200,000 car. You're going to buy this one.
And I love that they called it Cocaine White. They knew their audience.
They knew their audience. Hell yeah, they knew it. But I mean, it's not that cheesy gullwing door like we saw at Radwood. It is just a super clean wide body car, and the thing that's sad about it is that I have seen some wide body AMGs, because being I was always an enthusiast, kind of watched them on eBay over the years.
Yeah.
10 years ago there was one out of Chicago that was in black, and could have bought it for $30,000.
I was gonna say it's probably about $30,000.
But it's like the slant nose Porsches, like everything climbs as people who went through that era, and you know.
But I like that those cars are starting to move, you know.
Yeah.
And like we've already seen like 80s race cars and rally cars starting to go up in auction, and they're starting to pull really good money, and now we're starting to see the cool street cars go there as well. You know,
and they, love.
Someday my Fox Body would be worth a fortune.
Yeah. But
don't roll your eyes at me, Brad.
and you know what? It's kind of, you know, we see these cars that go up in value, and then we see other cars that go to the stratosphere. You know, for instance, you know, we even talked about it, that there was that D-Type Jaguar that sold for $21.78 million.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could get one of those today. Now that one had race heritage
and everything.
Yeah,
I think it was
a Lamar
car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, $22 million, man. I mean, that's a ton of cash.
I think it set the record for a British car.
Yes, the highest British, I believe you're right. But you can still have one.
Yeah.
You did hear about this, right?
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Well, I was kind of throwing it to you. You know, it was kind of like one of those radio or podcast things. You throw it to the other guy.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Do it again.
You know, you can still have one. A D-Type.
That's right. You can, because Jaguar Land Rover has launched their I don't know what they call it, their classic division.
They call them classic builds.
Classic builds. So I don't know if they're...
Actually, they probably say classic builds.
I don't know if they're restoring cars or just selling some, but a lot of the manufacturers are getting into this classic restoration business. Mercedes does it.
I think Mercedes kind of started it, didn't they? Yeah.
And Jaguar started doing it, and they started like repopping some cars. As a matter of fact, they did the XKSS. They did like a handful of those. They were pretty expensive. I think our friend Robert Angelo worked on the promotion video for that. I think he shot it all. And so now they're bringing out this car as well, but there's some really cool features of these, because they've really kind of, you know, took original designs and molds of these cars and try to reproduce them the way they were supposed to be.
Well, I guess, yeah, part of it was that they originally said back in, was it 56, I think? It's been 62 years. I'd put it about 56, I think. So they said they were going to build 100 of them. Well, they never did. So now what they're doing is continuing. So they're doing a continuation to finish up the original production run, which is 25 cars. Which in my math, that means they built 75.
Which is interesting, because I think when they did the XKSS, there was like 7 chassis that were never completed. And they were sort of in, I don't know how many they made, but there were 7, something like that, 5, 6, 7, that were either never made or never completed. And in between the VIN numbers that they had. There was some that for some
reason. So it was kind of the same thing. Yeah. They were continuing and finishing.
So these recreations, the XKSs, they made a handful of them, and they used those like seven VIN numbers that would have been those seven chassis. And I'm sure they're $1 million or whatever,
I think they were over a million.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, and they've already said that these cars are going to be seven-figure price tags.
Yeah.
But when you look at 21, they were probably like going, yeah, did you see what that one just sold for?
Well, I like it because all these manufacturers are really starting to pay attention to their heritage and
recognizing, the collector market.
Yeah, and recognizing where the collector car market is going, the car auctions are going, and seeing what's valuable. And these will. You know, somebody who spent $1 million on that car, who knows, 10, 20 years, I'm sure they can get a lot more out of it, you know.
Well, because it's because it is actually built by the factory.
Right.
That does it's yeah. It's like the gullwing Mercedes that are restored by Mercedes.
Yeah.
They just have that allure of like this was actually restored by the factory.
It gives it some authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing. I mean, keep in mind there's also some really nice shops around that can do that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys like Bruce
Kappa
and whoever.
Yep.
But it's nice to see that these manufacturers are doing that, and you can get restoration on some of these cars. Lamborghini announced their division that's doing restoration and stuff on some cars, and I think the most recent one to be announced was Alfa Romeo.
Are you going to take yours over? Do you still have yours?
I do, yeah.
Are you going to take it over and fly it to Italy?
No. I've been doing it here, and now it's pretty much done. I'm like, God damn it, I could have had it done if I would have waited.
So now the guys are going to come to you and go, Matt, how'd you do it?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They should, because we found some issues.
Think they'll use a MagnaFlow exhaust on it?
I don't know, but I sure did. I have the only one with a full, full MagnaFlow exhaust front to rear on that thing. Yeah, it's all stainless
steel. Nice.
Sounds good.
Good-looking stuff. Hey, back to the D-Type for 1 second. Did you know that the D-Type Jaguar won Le Mans 3 times in 2 years? I mean, excuse me, 3 times through
I was
the.
Say, how's that possible?
Yeah, I know. I corrected
yeah,
myself really quick.
That explains
there.
The $22 million. They did the impossible. They won three times in 2 years. Well, I knew they won at some point because the car that sold for big money was Le Mans car.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a Le Mans winning car. And by the way, anything at Le Mans now, I mean, you don't even have to win. You have a Le Mans car.
It was on the grid. It's going to get more money. Yeah.
And
those D-types that you can get them in the long nose or the short nose, just so you know. So when you order yours, you can choose.
Oh, so I should choose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're going to get one, aren't you?
Of course.
Now, you know what?
I'm going to trade my Alfa Romeo Spider.
Didn't Steve McQueen have one?
McQueen had the XKSS.
He had the XKSS. Okay.
That's the one that's at the Peterson Museum.
Right. The dark green one. Yeah.
Yeah. And
British Racing Green, I bet.
It could be. Could be. It's not cocaine green. We know that.
Man, maybe it's reefer green, man.
But I think that's the one where when they got the car, they found like speeding tickets in the glove compartment from McQueen.
No way, really?
Yeah,
I never heard that story. That's cool.
There's a great story about it. When you go to the Peterson Museum, I'm sure they'll tell you about it. And that car there, like nobody really knows like what the value is, but I know.
They probably won't tell me.
Well, I know that like they don't try to move it much, but they have taken it to a few events. And when they do, it's insured for like $30 million.
Which they should. It
or
should
at least.
Be 60, man. Yeah. It should be, you know.
Yeah, it's $30 million or north of that. But I think the last time I saw it at an event, it was a couple years ago, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's $30 million insurance.
I mean, you know, because it has heritage and movie heritage and Steve McQueen heritage and all that, you know, so it's.
And some speeding tickets.
That's cool.
Which I like.
I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to leave speeding tickets in the glove box of my car when I sell it.
Okay.
Yeah, do you think it'll mean anything?
Not the
same meaning?
Not a thing.
Guy left a bunch of junk in the glove box, man. Let's get rid of this.
He has speeding tickets in the Suburban he just sold.
Yeah, of course. I don't get speeding tickets because I drive a Suburban.
And you're a responsible adult.
I got to get a new car, Matt. I got to start seriously thinking about a new car because my wife took my new truck. And
new truck?
Well, it's pretty much new. It's an 08, and it sat for 4 years, so that puts it in the realm.
Sitting for 4 years doesn't make you younger.
Well, no, it was with GM for 2 years.
Yeah.
Just on tour. And then it came back and sat in my warehouse for 2 years. So it didn't have any miles. It was like a brand new truck.
Yeah.
And then I drove it, and then she went, I like that. I'm going to drive it. And my Suburban, I love, which I've said before, because it had the big block in it and everything, but it's literally disintegrating around
me. It's kind
of
falling apart, yeah.
Oh, dude.
And every time I get it, like, I dig it, too, because of the big block and stuff, and it's almost rare in that sense. But, man, GM and the plastic back then.
That's exact. The headliner.
Everything's plastic. The big puffy buttons on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're disintegrating. And the headliner. What's weird is the headliner is, like, it just started, like, around the edges.
Yeah.
It's fraying, and I'm like going, what the, you know, and
it's just termites.
It's just termites. But it's, I think it's just, it's what you said. It's the petroleum product.
Yeah.
It's just gotten to its end of use cycle and time to go.
Trade it in for a repop T-type, Jack.
You know what? Could I haul wheels in that to and from the factory?
One wheel at a time in the passenger seat.
Wrapped in plastic, yeah. In a blanket.
Just one at a time, I guess.
I'll get a trailer.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody would frown on me if I put a trailer hitch on a D-Type?
I'm down with that. It's got to be a cool trailer. Have somebody like Jimmy Shine make it for you.
Have an aluminum trailer with a wing on it, you know, with like one of those fins. That'd be so cool.
Okay.
It's like when you see some guy with some crazy nice car and he's got a trailer hitch on it. And you're just like, what do you think? A 930 turbo with a trailer hitch? I mean,
if you get something new, do you keep this?
Yeah, I actually will, because it runs fantastic, and we're still going to need something. That's what that thing's used for,
still
is to go back
truck.
And forth to the factory and pick stuff up, and you know. But yeah, I mean, I just need a new daily driver.
Like what? Like a truck? Car?
I'm actually thinking about going back to a car, because I've always had Mercedes.
Get a nice sedan or something?
And stuff like that. I'm thinking about something that I can, you know, because I don't need a truck to drive to and from the house, or when I go to Arizona or to Vegas or something like that.
Even going to L.A.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the problems. I go up to L.A. so much, you know, for TV meetings and stuff. You know, they'll go, yeah, just park in the lot. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'll find a place on the street, pay the meter, and then go in, you know. So I'm really in a quandary. I don't really know what I want. I'm going to have to think about it. And see what I can get for under $10,000. And, you know, can I get one of those new Lexus?
You can get a down payment and a payment book.
Well, I don't know. But I don't lease my cars. I always try and buy them. And I like owning my cars, you know, because it seems like, you know, 2 year lease. And here's a real reason.
Well,
there's a lot of great leases out there, but I drive way too much for a lease.
You can lease a Fiat 500 electric for like $150 a month. You would look adorable in that.
Oh, yeah, I'd look great in that. but no, I mean, like, I've looked at a lot of cool cars that you can, I mean, the new Jaguars and, you know, all the stuff. Great leases on them. But then you look at the fine print and it says, you know, do not exceed 6,000 miles per year. You know, I'm like,
well, at that price, you could pay a little more. Actually, if you do the math on it, it's not that bad, because a lot of these things, like the difference between 6,000 miles and 10,000 miles is like 50, 60 bucks a month.
Yeah, but I do my taxes and I do my mileage.
Yeah.
And I average like 25,000 miles a year, because I drive to Vegas. I drive to Arizona. I drive to,
That's
know.
Right.
And you know what? I don't want to be the guy who goes, I can't take my car. I got to rent a car to go somewhere. You know, I mean, that's
okay.
So anyways, I'll figure it out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, Lamborghini Aventador or something practical.
They're nice.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I remember when I had my Ferrari, my wife hated it. It's so hard to get in and out of. The seats aren't comfortable. Why is the seat wearing, you know? It's like, but anyway, so what else is going on, Matt? What have you been up to? You've been still fitting your Pro Charger, right?
I'm working away. Last week here on Shift and Steer, we had Joe Rode from Eddie Motorsports that came in, and I ended up getting one of his big serpentine pulley kits for the front of my engine to clean it up on the Mustang, and the kit went on great. It fit well. I'm trying to customize it to get the supercharger on there, and I'm just having issues with the crank pulley.
Because does it stick out too far?
So here's the thing: you take off the Eddie Motorsports crank pulley, which obviously fits very nicely. And then you have to put on some sort of pro charger pulley. And there's two. There's your six rib serpentine pulley for all your accessories. And then in front of it as one single pulley.
Is it a cog belt?
It's not, but it is. But mine is a big 12-rib belt.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to use the 12-rib.
Right, it's a bigger
but,
one,
but
yeah.
The pulley is two pulleys machined into one one piece. So the one from ProCharger that I had had too much of a spacer built into it, so it pushed both the pulleys, the serpentine and the blower pulley, too far away from the engine because the Eddy Motorsports kit is very tucked onto the engine. It's very nice. But this moves it further out.
Because their kit required that alignment.
Right. So I couldn't use that.
What was their pulley made out of?
Well, their pulley's aluminum.
Is it like billet aluminum machined or is
yeah,
it a cast
the,
piece?
The Eddy Motorsports is a machined piece. The ProCharger pulley, I'm not sure.
I'm just wondering because is it thick enough to where you could put it on a lathe and machine some away and get the tolerance
no, because,
back?
Because if you machine some of it away, you'd have to cut about 3/4 inches off of it.
And it's
then
not thick enough.
The four bolt holes that go in onto the balancer, you would just be cutting that off.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
You'd have two pulleys with a giant hole in it and no yeah. mounting points. You could re-weld it, but I don't like that. You'd have to be so perfectly...
No, on a pulley, it needs to be perfect.
It's so perfect. Yeah. Like, it can't even wobble, like, a little bit. So I reached out to ProCharger and I said, do you have another pulley that's way more flush? And they said, yes, we have one for our Renegade drag racing kit. And I said, well, send me one of those and let me see what I can do. This doesn't have the big spacer built in, so now I can mount this onto the engine and make my own spacer so I can determine exactly how
right.
far away, how, you know, between the pulley and the balancer, I can make a spacer for that, right? And the four bolt holes will go right through that spacer. But what's happening is the supercharger pulley is so large, it hits the water pump pulley. And it only hits the water pump pulley because the Eddy Motorsports pulley is very cool, but it has this great design on it. But the pulley, the front of the pulley, sort of domes out. And when it domes out, my supercharger pulley hits this. Now, if their pulley was perfectly flat, I might be able to just kind of have one go right in front of the
yeah.
other. So what we're thinking of doing is I'm going to take the water pump pulley off. We're going to put it on the lathe and machine off the dome
yeah.
and get it to work. And then I think it'll work. And then,
have you had it off? Did you look at it from the back?
Yeah, it's pretty thick.
Yeah, because you don't want to machine all the way through it.
Yeah,
so.
It's pretty thick. That whole like dome piece, like the bolts are recessed in. So I'm not even going anywhere near those. Like you can machine off that whole dome on the front of that pulley, which is more of a cosmetic.
I was going to say it's like a cap, right?
It looks like it. So they make a cap for the AC compressor to match, and they make one for the and they have a power steering pump pulley that matches. So the cap is on the AC, but the others are pulleys that are machined with that bevel into it, so they all match. The alternator has a cap on the end.
AC compressor.
Just the water pump.
Oh,
in
the
middle
pump. Okay.
Is hitting the crank.
And it's cosmetic
It's cosmetic. I think I can machine it down and get it to work.
Worst case scenario, you could always get aluminum plate.
Yeah.
And turn it down to the diameter you want, and just put a flat cap over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think this will work. It'll take a little work on the lathe and to get it done, but we're getting closer with it, and it's going to be a pretty nice setup. But I'm telling you, one of the other advantages I found out is because there's a couple things. That whole front serpentine pulley kit, one, it mounts to a billet front cover, the cam cover, the timing chain cover. Everything mounts to that, so I don't have anything going into the cylinder heads. So now I can use the cylinder heads to make my custom supercharger bracket, and I can mount into that.
Got you.
So I don't have to touch anything else. And two, because everything is more compact and closer to the engine, I now have like an extra 1.5, 2 inches of space between my radiator and the pulleys. And
oh, because it's brought everything back.
Because it brought everything closer to the motor. And the issue I was having before, our friends at Derailleur, I worked with them on getting a fan shroud with a fan on it, and we wanted to use this nice dual fan system, but the dual fans were hitting the supercharger pulley. So I went to a single fan that allowed more room. It wasn't as thick. But now that I'm moving all the pulleys closer to the engine, I think I can go back to that nice dual fan setup.
Or just an old-style flex fan, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because the front end of the motor looks so nice now.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to put a mechanical fan.
And I want you to go back to the fan shroud because I make a couple cents royalty on that Brad fan shroud.
Fan shroud? Yeah. So it's going to be a nice kit. I'm excited about getting it done. I don't know. I'm really...
You should try and get it done so you could drive it, man. That'd be so
well,
cool.
There's that, but I'm more than happy to reach out to Eddie Motorsports and ProCharger and get everybody together. Everything that I make on this thing, I'm going to hand over all the specs, tell them everything that I did, and if they want to make a kit that allows you to run a ProCharger on a small block Ford, they're happy to do it.
As long as they call it the Motorator kit, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Baby. This is the Motorator
the Motorator kit. By yeah. Any Motorsports.
Yeah, I think they can do it. I think they might be interested in at least taking a look at it. I mean, they reached out to me and they said, hey, you know, keep us in the loop on what you're going to do. And I've done this a few times on the car. I'm running a Flaming River power steering rack with a Maximum Motorsports K-member. And normally those two don't fit. And Maximum Motorsports, I had the power steering rack. I had Flaming River send it to them. They took all the measurements. They can modify the K member for you. Now, if you want a brand new, not rebuilt, brand new power steering rack from Flaming River, quicker ratio, the whole deal, and you're running a Maximum Motorsports K member, tell Maximum Motorsports when they send you the K member.
Just tell them, I want Matt's rack.
That's right. They'll make the modifications for you and give you the spacers, and it will work. And I think I have the first two. I have one on another project car. And this
you
one
did
on
the same thing with Cal Custom, didn't you, and the billet mud flaps that you have on the car?
I do not have billet mud flaps.
You do too. Come on, they have running Mustangs on them, and they're really cool, man.
That would be the next thing. Maybe you can make me a set. But anyway, keep checking out my social media. You'll see all the pictures and see what I'm doing. I put pictures up of I got a bunch of pulleys now, and I'm trying to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah.
I got hundreds of dollars worth of pulleys, probably thousands of dollars worth of pulleys trying to figure out
hey,
what
you know
I'm
what?
Do.
When you're all done, all the extra ones, give them to Aaron as an art project.
That's right.
And he'll like do some stacked lamp, and you can have like the pulley lamp or something.
I'm just
going like
to give them away to people who subscribe and give us a nice little.
There you go. Hey.
Who wants pulleys?
So, In another thing, you know, we've got the new email segment, and we've got the Win Brad Stuff segment. We are going to start from here forward, try every show featuring a new product. I think, you know, because it's a great way to let guys know, because people are always telling us about new stuff. Whether it's something that you you know are using on your car or mm-hmm. something I'm using on one of my builds. And so to start it out, and because I was a little short on time, we're going to do Bond Speed Wheels.
Oh, but wow.
It won't be Bond Speed Wheels every show, okay? I promise you that. But, hey, you know what?
I've got a set of Bond Speed Wheels.
You do. And see, so it's perfect. And it's that time of year. Right now is when guys are going, especially back east and in the snow belt, where they're going, oh, man. It's going to be thawing. I'm looking at the calendar. My favorite show's coming up. And whether it's a Bond Speed wheel or any hand-built wheel, you better get these things ordered because it does take weeks to build them. They're not like a cast wheel where you can just, you know, get them right, you know, off the shelf and take them away. You want them to fit. You want them to be perfect. And
ooh, I have a question.
Yes.
As the wheel guy, give me a little bit of advice. When should you order wheels, and what sort of information do you need to know as a custom wheel manufacturer?
Okay. So our wheels, for instance, are two-piece forged, made in America. So we are a machine shop. We've got to factor that in. And this is the analogy I give to people all the time. We quote 8 weeks this time of year. So you need to factor that in. 8 weeks. 9 weeks if it's got special powder coating or paint. And I tell guys all the time, I get this question, why does it take so long? I could literally build a set of wheels in 3 days from chunk of aluminum to out the door. But it's like going to Disneyland. All the rides, They could put you on that ride and put you through in 10 minutes, but you wait in line.
Yeah.
And that's what it is at our machine shop, is it's a lot of waiting in line because, you know, we've got all kinds of orders and we've got to, you know, first in, first out. And so it's a lot of waiting in line. It's an amusement park for aluminum.
Yeah.
And they've got a wait in line in the first op, wait in line in the second op, wait in line in the style machining, wait in line at bolt pattern, then go to polish shop, wait in line again. And another thing, Matt, people don't understand is that polished aluminum wheels, they're all hand polished on machines, but people go, well, I want brushed and cleared. And I go, we still got to polish them.
You got to polish
them. I want powder coated. We still got to polish them.
Polish them.
And they ask, why? And I say, well, the reason is because, you know, when they come off the machine, those edges of the spokes and everything, they're like razor blades.
Yeah.
First, we deburr them with a tool. But then the polish process is where you get those nice radiuses throughout the wheel. And that's what the polishing process did. So once we polish them, then a guy goes and brushes them or powder coats them or whatever like that. So remember, I mean, like our wheels, Bond Speed Wheels, you can find us at bondspeedwheels.com, on Instagram, at bondspeedwheels. Our wheels range between 400 a wheel and 3,000 a wheel. And, you know, all the custom wheel brands are in that, that deal with hot rods, sport trucks, muscle cars. We build, you know, for Ferraris, we've built wheels for just about everything.
So when they call you, they should be
armed. Oh, you
armed.
Asked me a question, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they should be armed with some, obviously, your car, make a model and year, but what modifications
okay.
or brakes?
Okay, we need to know, is the car lowered or is it stock height? That mm-hmm. helps us with the offset. We also need to know what kind of brakes you're running. That means, have you converted to disc all the way around? Is it a stock type disc or is it a big aftermarket brake like a Wilwood? And if it's a Wilwood, is how many pistons? Big question I always ask people. What kind of Wilwood did you put on? And they go, 12-inch rotor. I go, okay, that's great. I don't really need to know that as much as I need to know what caliper.
Right.
How many pistons? Because that tells me...
Does it help to have part numbers?
Part numbers are great because companies like Wilwood and Bear,
yeah.
they have templates that we have, and I can look right there and go, okay, it protrudes out this much. Because all I want to know is how much it protrudes out
yeah.
so that we don't build a wheel that when you go to put it on, it hits the caliper before it bolts yeah. down.
Because on my car, we talked about that, and we have, you made me 18s front and rear, but I've got a 14-inch rotor with six
right.
piston calibers front and rear, and there's no daylight.
No, that I is mean, a tight.
Because when you think of an 18-inch rim, but by time you get to the actual center section of the wheel, I mean, there's no room for anything in there. I mean, it looks badass.
Well,
but,
people always think, they go, it's 18 inches. Why wouldn't a 14? That leaves 4 inches to spare. No, because you've got to mount a tire on it. So the tire mounts from the rear, and there's what's called a drop in the rim that allows that
yeah.
tire to pop on and slide across. So it actually, at its smallest point, I don't know the exact off the top of my head, but it's
yeah.
it's something like 14 and 7/8 or something like that. So, yeah. Because you got to remember, the rotor's 14, but the caliper sits on top of that rotor.
That's right, and that's always the thing.
Yep, and so they always got to figure all those. And you know, our guys here, we know a lot of wheel companies will say, figure it out and tell us an order. But we do a lot of technical assistance, and that's one of the things we're known for. But it's that time of year, new products, new wheels for your car. You can take a set of wheels, and even if a car was built 4 years ago, make it look practically brand new with a set of wheels.
Yeah.
And
it's a weird thing how wheels and electronics often date your car.
Yeah.
And but you can even take a set of wheels that you had back in the day and change a color or do a powder coat or refinish them
yep.
something and give them a more modern
And look. Don't cheap out. I mean, I tell people all the time, I can't believe how many people will spend $100,000 on a car and then cheap out on the wheels. You know, I get guys all the time, I've got Detroit speed suspension, I've got Bear brakes, I've got this, you know, I've got and I'll
no
tell
more
them,
budget.
And I'll tell them, well, a lot of them will go, yeah. you won't believe how much you spent on this car, man. I don't really have a lot left for wheels. I go, It's the most visible thing. It is the one thing that impacts your car more than anything, other than a guy like Dave Merrick would, who can just draw like the wind. Hey, we're saying his name because Dave just walked in because we're going to do a episode of Man Seeks Adventure next. And
like the wind, you can't see it.
Yeah, there you go. But hey, anyways, so every show, you or I will come up with a new product to highlight, and we'll keep it going, man. Get these guys some new hot stuff to look at.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for writing in the emails, and thanks for subscribing. Give us a nice review on iTunes. And as usual, check us out at shiftandsteer.com and all of our social media is Shift Steer Media. You can follow me at Moderator. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Moderator. I'm posting pictures of the Mustang, the pulley system.
Yeah, he's got lots of good stuff. And you can find me, Brad Fanshaw, at Bondspeed Brad on Instagram and at Brad Fanshaw on Twitter and Facebook. So go check it out. And hey, thanks for listening to another edition of Shift and Steer. Thanks for the support and go win my stuff.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.